Alright, hey guys, welcome back to the Seriously Grays podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Kay.
We're here to talk to you about 904. I Saw Her Standing There, directed by Kevin McKidd.
Yay!
And written by Austin Guzman.
And Kevin McKidd sent us a tweet just before the episode.
Alright, so the episode begins with lots of porn.
Yay! I think we actually see Christina's nipple.
What?
I think, because someone made me this on Twitter, that there was a nipple somewhere, and as I rewatched, I paid attention, and there is a nipple,
really?
And it doesn't make sense that it's the person on top, and for both scenes, it's the man.
Maybe it's the guy's nipple.
Well, it's the person who's at the bottom, and on both scenes, it's the women. Anyways,
oh, that's awkward.
If you guys
have to rewatch that because I'm a perv.
If you guys want to study nipples,
I have to say I was actually quite surprised because Grey's Anatomy is not really like it's known for its sex scenes, but I mean not specifically it's the scenes, but it's known for like its sex appeal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that there's been a lot of people who've wanted to see, especially Meredith and Derek, being passionate. So I'm sure that they were pleased. Not so happy about the fact that we saw Christina going at it with Dr. Whatever, aka Dr. Parker.
I think it's Parker, yeah.
It is Dr. Parker.
Yeah.
And how did you feel about that arrangement?
The Dr. Parker thing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not meant to be taken seriously.
No.
Even by Christina, it seems like she's not really taking it seriously. There's no, he's obviously not a love interest, or he's not getting in the way of Owen and Christina. I don't think it's meant to be taken seriously.
Do you think it's revenge? Do you think she's doing it because Owen did it, or do you think she just really is just wanting to scratch an itch?
Oh, no, that, yeah, it's, as she calls it, it's not a scream for help or whatever, it's a scream for an orgasm, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's really, she doesn't even like the guy. She gives him, like, 10 flaws in a row. She can, I don't know, no. I it's not meant to be taken seriously. And I
like
don't
this, I like the, go on.
I don't think people should be too, take offense in that, you know?
Yeah. I like the scene in his office where he was like, want to go again? Christina's like, yeah, all right. Like, she's totally not even into it.
But is, yeah. I think that the biggest turn on in that office is the fountain.
Fountain. Oh my god, there's a big window there.
Fountain.
Oh my god.
I thought that too.
Is that like a fetish?
I don't know. I don't think they see. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
I don't remember how it comes up in the first scene, but Dr. Parker mentions Dr. Thomas for some reason, and immediately I felt like Christina was kind of defensive about Dr. Thomas, like she wants to defend him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not big, it's kind of subtle, but immediately you see that their relationship has evolved since last episode. And also, I don't know if people remember that Dr. Thomas was the man who was the examinator for Christina's boards.
I remember.
Yeah, I remember too, but I saw someone mentioning it, and many people were like, oh my god, it's true! Like, they hadn't seen it.
Well, I guess some people don't religiously watch the episodes over and over like we do.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, just wanted to mention it.
Yeah.
Also, people were very happy to see, as you mentioned, Meredith and Derek going at it. The Meredith fan really liked that episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, no offense to that couple, but I found that they've been treated very not couple-like.
I don't know. I feel like they're a strong couple, and we keep on seeing that. I feel like
I think we need to see more, which, you know, like more, not just obviously the sex, but I feel like they don't get any proper screen time to have to hold an actual conversation and talk about their problems. It's always skimmed over, and it's just not treated the weight that it deserves, and so
none of the couples are treated properly.
No, that's true. But Meredith and Derek in particular, with the whole Zola storyline last season.
Oh yeah,
a lot of it was brushed under the rug, and it's just nice to see that, like, while we were told from the surface that they were okay, it's nice to, you know, actually see that they're happy and at a good place in their relationship right now. Anyways, moving on to April and Jackson. This did nothing for me. The whole April and Jackson finishing up, and he was like, I gotta go grab coffee, and she's like, I gotta go pray. At this point, I feel like they're mocking Christianity. It just seems silly and overdone, and I'm getting tired of it.
You know, I have a problem with their character, because the writers keep on insisting that April is a virgin, and it's like she needs more than that. No one's gonna care about a character who only has this one thing about her, and that thing being that she's a virgin. They really need to move on from that. Because I feel like a lot of people don't like April, and I think that one of the reasons is that the writers don't give her any depth. They kind of tried with the whole religious thing, but it didn't really work, or for me, it didn't really work, and I think that it's not really convincing, and I really think that if they want us to care about April, they need to make her something more than the virgin.
It had a big takeoff. Like, there was a lot of potential. It was a little surprising in the episode where it was revealed, but they didn't really do anything with it afterwards. I felt like it was more of a plot device, and I'm not seeing any, I'm just not seeing any payoff for that revealance. Is that a word? Revealance? Revealing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I like the change in her attitude. That I can appreciate, but I need more. And Jack, I'm not interested in Jackson at all.
I'm not either.
So, yeah. Give me something to care. That's what I'm asking for. Mm-hmm. And people, if you like Jackson and April, I mean, tell us about it. Tell us why we should like it. I'm all for liking them. I'm not close to the idea of them being a couple. But, you know, if maybe I'm not seeing something that's there. So help me see it.
Help me. Help me.
Help.
I
need somebody. Help.
Filler scene of Owen arriving. We find out that he had a rough night. Chief, still the chief, Weber, walks in with a suit. Everyone questions it. The LA Hunt. And then we find out...
Dun, dun, dun.
Mama Avery.
Hello, Hanson.
I like her. I like her attitude. She just sneaks in, but it's an entrance.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
She has this big charisma. I like her.
I think her entire just demeanor is just, it's very suitable to the show.
Yeah.
She fits into the cast perfectly, in my opinion.
I agree. Even she even has the dark blue scrubs.
Like, some of the interns and even, like, a couple of the recurring cast members from last season, I felt they had a hard time meshing with, but, you know, Catherine Avery just shows up and she just steals
it works.
The show.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
I know a lot of people don't like her. Like, I've actually read quite a few people who are, they think that, you know, she steals too much screen time from the main characters that they're interested in, and I can understand that. But I think at this point, it's really good to give Richard, I think she's very important to his story arc.
Yeah, I agree.
Moment, so.
Also, I'm going to say this appearance of hers, I think it's her third. It's my least favorite. I mean, I like her. I love her character. I love that she was there, but it's, like, my least favorite.
And it's kind of random.
We're going to go into it later.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm going to say it right away. It was my least favorite.
Yeah, okay. Then we move on to Alex, who's abusing a computer. I love the Callie and Alex scenes this season.
I like that she gets right into it.
Yep.
It's like, let's banter.
And Alex immediately goes to, I want Mama Robin's back. You actually wrote that. And Callie is just like, whoa, you know she's here?
Which is not logic at all. He really asks, when is Robin coming back? And she's like, wait, you saw her?
Yeah, that's stupid.
What's that, Kelly? Come on. I mean, I guess she was itching to talk to somebody about it.
I think she was too, yeah.
Yeah, so it works, but I was kind of frustrated.
If it wasn't because she couldn't keep it off her chest, then it was weak writing on Desmond's part. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
But I like the whole tell her I said it went well. I'm just like, no, I can't. Do you need me to write this down? You can see as Alex walks off, he's on a mission.
I must be so awkward.
He's like, I'm going to go find this guy.
You must want to see her so bad.
After the revealing, is my word for this podcast, the revealing of Arizona being at the hospital, we cut to Arizona alone in the hospital, waiting, surrounded by an alarming array of prosthetics.
Yeah, many, many different kinds.
You can tell that she's not comfortable to be there. She has her hands are covered by her sleeves. She's
so cute.
Making herself look as small as possible. It's obvious that Arizona Robbins does not want to be here. And then Dr. Moore walks in, who's played by Ethan Embry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was in some kind of a horror movie or a thriller? I remember his face and his character, but I don't remember the movie. Anyways, we can go on.
Mm-hmm. First of all, what did you think of his casting choice?
I loved him. He was adorable. I think for some reason, men who play against Arizona, like in the scene with Arizona, they need to, I don't know. It's like, do you remember our friend Nick? He worked for me because he had this whole cuteness and some, you know.
He kind of reminded me of Nick. You're right.
He's sensitive, you know, he's patient. He really worked well with Arizona. Mm-hmm. I liked him right away.
Yeah.
Like, he had this old grin thing. He was cute. I liked him.
Yeah. I thought he was cute, too. So Dr. Moore walks in. Arizona wants to know how long that they're going to be working together, and he has his little joke, which I didn't think was funny.
No, me neither. I would have... Yeah, me neither. I like that it's the first thing she...
Your leg grows back.
Mm-hmm. I like that the first thing she asks him is, long? How long is a while? How long will we be working together? It's like she wants to rush through the part where she has to accept help. You know? She's not dim enough to refuse help that she knows she has to have, but she kind of wants to rush through. And it feels in character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, still, though, we can tell she has not accepted her situation. No. And it's been how long now?
Oh, a good 2 months, no?
Yeah. So, Dr. Moore recognizes this, but he chooses not to, mention anything, obviously. I liked how we'll talk about this later, but I liked how he remained supportive until it was obvious that she wasn't helping either of them.
Mm-hmm. I like how, when he looks at her scarring, she looks away. Not like
she didn't when Alex did. Sorry, we'll get to that later, but I just want to make the comparison now.
What?
When Alex looked at her...
But when Dr. Moore did, she really looked away. Like, it was, there's no way I'm going to look at my leg.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine it's not a sight that I'd like to see either.
No, but it's like... It gives perspective to the whole thing, She's in the hospital. She made Callie promise not to tell anyone that she was there. She really doesn't want other people to see. She's not even ready to look at it herself.
Yeah.
It's a strong thing, and it's been months.
Yeah. It's been
She's not even interested in now she's healing.
No. No, she's not.
She's a doctor. It's, wow.
Yeah, no, she's pretty deep down in her dark place.
Yeah. And I like how he doesn't force her. He insists on the fact that it's great. She's doing good. And I like that he repeats it.
I like the way he says, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. The way he delivered that line was kind of... It held a lot of meaning, I thought.
Yeah.
So, cut to Meredith and Christina, who are talking on the phone now and not... They're giving their FaceTime a break. Meredith tells her to stop sleeping with Dr. Parker. Christina says she needs to adapt. Christina, she admits that to being friends with the ancient guy, Dr. Thomas. And I think it's cute that she actually admitted that he's you here in Minnesota.
It's cute, and I like that Meredith immediately goes to, so how does me in Minnesota, what does me in Minnesota think about you sleeping with Parker?
She's like, I don't exactly share those details with him.
Yeah, it's, I like how Meredith says, you know, it's a cry for help, because Meredith knows what it's like. Because, you know, when Derek left her, she went through this whole phase, or even before Derek, she went through this whole phase of sleeping with men and having sex buddies and not caring. And I think for Meredith, it was a cry for help. And she, I think she thinks that Christina is going through something similar. And then the intern walks in with the scan. Something, and she proves to Meredith that she was actually right, mm-hmm. and that there was a tumor. And that's interesting, because Christina says something like, Meredith says, oh, I have to go. And Christina is immediately interested in what's going on.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, again, but Meredith hangs up. And there's a scene later where the situation is reversed, and Christina says, I have to go. And Meredith just accepts it. She's like, okay, bye.
Oh, okay. We'll have to get there, because I don't remember that.
I find that interesting. It's like Christina's not exactly in Minnesota yet. She still cares about Seattle Grace, but Meredith is in
her
Seattle
body,
Grace.
Her body's there, but her soul isn't.
Exactly, and she's okay with that fact. She's okay with not knowing about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that interesting.
Yeah. So Richard shows a surprise to Catherine, which we call Big Balls Guy.
Which is insensitive.
More backstory. To be honest, I don't even really pay that much attention to the patients' backstories anymore, because I find that they hardly ever identify with the characters anymore.
I did this one, the big balls thing, a little.
Yeah. Anyways, he was stuff about high school reunion. That was his girlfriend.
Yeah, because the girl who dragged him there, she was, you know, as we found out later in the episode, she was just his friend, and he was in love with her, but he had never told her. But
yeah.
What I thought she actually kind of was his girlfriend for some reason.
Yeah.
That she was jealous of this other girl.
Yeah, so I think I thought that too.
Anyways, so...
Weird.
I didn't really get attached to their old...
No, I didn't either. So, Meredith's patient, we find out... is sensible because of his tumor. He's a crying bodyguard.
Yeah! He's into security.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crying.
At any time we get to see a patient outside of the room or the OR, you know, it's just different.
Mm-hmm. Meredith is not a gracious runner.
No.
I mean, I like Ellen Pompeo. She's a pretty lady, but she's not a gracious runner. I'm just saying.
Well, we all have our quirks. Derek, we find in his teaching style, he is asked about a precise case and gets annoyed. He's teaching about central lines of all the things that he could choose to teach.
I mean, I have a problem with the whole Derek teaching thing, okay? I get that these kids need to be taught those basic things. I get it, okay? Mm-hmm. But Derek Shepherd, big time.
It's an insult.
It's an insult. And he kind of brought it up at the beginning of the episode. He said, you know, I'm not sure that teaching justifies my paycheck.
Well, not that kind of teaching.
No. I mean, come on. What is this? And I get that he can't do procedures, and I mean, I get that, but really, teaching about central lines, it's bound to put him down, you know? He's bound to get depressed about this.
No. Yeah.
And I mean, the kids aren't even listening. It's like he says something like, I know you saw this in med school, like it's the most basic thing, but when they have to apply, they can't even do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I get the fact that Derek gets kind of pissed off about teaching.
Although, I do like what you pointed out here.
Oh yeah, the drawing on the board.
He really is a good artist. He's drawing on the wall.
And it fits the advice he gives the kid also. He says something like visualize the anatomy or something like that.
He always does that, yeah.
Which kind of makes sense. If he can see it in his head very clearly, it would make sense that he can draw it, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I like his drawings. I'm a fan. I would take one on my bedroom my bedroom wall.
So, back to Mama Avery gushing over the gift Richard got her. They kind of have hand sex. Or they're just trying to hold hands until Bailey interrupts them.
And I found it cute that these two, it was like they had this family dynamic where Richard and Catherine were like the horny parents and Derek was the annoying daughter who kept on interrupting them.
It once again drives home Bailey's position on the show as a mother figure.
You know, I had that thought. Okay. It's weird to me, and this episode made me realize this. It's weird to me that I'm okay with the fact that Richard is the best sex Catherine Avery has had in years. I'm okay with that. Totally okay with the chief having a sex life. Totally not okay with Bailey having a sex life.
I think I know why.
Why?
Because we've discovered from the very beginning of the show that
Richard,
he had an affair for years. He's always, you know, been a little bit outrageous with his sex life.
Yeah, maybe.
So maybe that's why you're more comfortable with it, because it's a position you're used to envisioning him in.
It's true, but we've never seen it. But yeah, it's a good
point. No, well, we haven't actually seen it lately.
It's a good point.
But they talked about it a lot, so you kind of didn't really forget it.
Yeah, it's a good point. And yeah, Bailey's always been the person who separated her private life from her hospital life.
Exactly.
Now, I'm sad.
We'll get to that. Bailey, just so you know, guys, we have a big, huge discussion about Bailey coming up, so get ready.
Yeah, get ready to be outraged.
Weber suggests that they'll have Kepner scrub in, which is, honestly, I need to bring this up right now. I'm getting annoyed. Not getting, because it's actually been years, but why is it that every time someone's trying to cover up a secret, for instance, Burke's hand tremor, Bailey always gets her ego bruised? It really bothers me.
Oh, that's true.
You know, they always say, we can't use you in the OR, and she's, like, insulted.
Yeah, but was it... Okay, so I had this question, actually. Is he really taking Kepner under his wing, or was it really to keep Bailey off?
I think it was to keep Bailey.
Okay.
Although it would be nice if she had somebody.
Actually, I would be pissed off.
Really?
If it was Weber. Yeah, man. Okay, I brought this up last podcast. Owen went to a farm, a pig farm, to get the girl. Teach her something. Okay? Yeah. Be consistent, man. Well, you said it was the thing you said it was the thing you could fix, and then you bring her back and you don't do anything.
Yeah,
it's been two episodes.
Inconsistent.
I really have a problem with that. Yeah, so
I'm with you.
If yes, Richard is a great mentor. I would have no problem with him taking her under his wings otherwise. But just because Owen went there to get her so he could teach her, then man, push through.
Yeah.
Rant done. Also, there's references to Kepner being a virgin and scrotums and balls and stuff, which I'm getting tired of.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Even Bailey's making reference to that, and she knows she's sleeping with Avery.
Oh, yeah,
Which, I mean, there should have been a moment where Bailey realized that, and she's with Mama Avery. There should have been a moment.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay, so Karev goes to the supply closet to talk to Dr. Moore. He wants to make sure Arizona's okay. I don't know what else to say about this scene. I mean, it was cute. It was nice that he was... One thing I've always loved about Alex is how he goes out of his way behind the scenes and doesn't... He does good things... without expecting a reward. And he's just genuinely concerned for Arizona, and he wants to make sure that he did his job right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm proud of him for that.
Yeah, me too. I like it. I like that he's not looking for credit.
However, there's been some, what's the word? Thought brought to the light of how they don't think that Dr. Moore should have shared the information with him so readily because he didn't know right away who he was.
Oh, but I noticed that as soon as Alex walks in, he says, Alex Karev, peds. Oh, which Dr. Moore said, oh, you're here to see Arizona. He makes the connection very quickly. I mean, there's a reason Alex mentions peds, because it's because he wants him to make the connection to Arizona.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, yeah.
So what to say, if some random doctor just came up and said, hi, how's she doing? And he totally shared all the details, that'd be kind of bad.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kind of bad anyways, but it's clear that Alex states peds to link to Arizona and not to a case because he's not there to talk about a case.
Yeah.
You know, so to me it was like, why did he bring up peds? And I realized it was to connect to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how Moore, you can see that Moore is putting the pieces together. You can see that he finds it hard that Alex doesn't want to go see Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's slowly, like, especially in the later scene with Callie in Arizona, but he's noticing that she's pushing people away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's very intuitive, and I think that's part of his job, though.
He's cute. He's very cute.
Mm-hmm. So back to Derek still trying to teach Central Lines. He's not impressed by the students' lack of interest.
And I'm not.
He has a difficult time using his hand to show as an example. I feel bad for him.
Also, annoying guy. It's what I'm going to call him. The annoying intern.
Which one?
The one who has a hard time in Derek.
Okay, yeah.
Jim.
Yeah.
Noticed that when he was asking questions, the other interns were, like, rolling their eyes.
Aww.
Yeah.
What's that?
So he's annoying.
Are you disappointed in your baby Joe for being so rude?
No. No, I don't like him either. First time I saw him, I'm not connecting with that guy at all.
Wait, what?
I don't like him.
I'm talking about Joe.
No, I'm talking about the guy, so I'm not... I don't care that she's rude. Anyways, Derek tries to teach by example, and I think that's something about Derek. He likes to show. Intuition is to, like, teach by showing by
example.
And he has a hard time. And I like that he can't be in a OR, and he can't teach the way he used to.
Mm-hmm.
So it also impairs the way he teaches, which I find it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that interested in the storyline yet. I kind of want to know I want to see where it's going.
I totally am, because I have a super theory.
Really? What's your theory?
Yes. I'll tell when we get to the scene.
Okay. So just...
Get excited, people.
Brief scene. Bailey and Meredith are looking at the tumor. Bailey is lusting over it. Meredith claims her territory, and I love the little tap on her shoulder.
Me too! I was gonna
say. Hello? Mine.
I like the dynamic there that Meredith and Bailey has going on. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I still find it a little demeaning towards Bailey. I mean, I understand that they're now on equal footing, but I still feel like she should have some kind of superiority. I can't even pronounce the word.
Superiority.
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 Yeah. Whatever. Okay, you get what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Do you think that Meredith kind of took over as Bailey's favorite?
I don't think Bailey has any favorites anymore.
It was George, and then she doesn't anymore.
Yeah. Well, maybe. She was very angry at Meredith in season 8, so I don't think she could become her favorite that fast.
But they kind of had this whole thing about the diabetes.
True, but that was just, I don't know, phase.
Yeah, which
by the way totally vanished.
Yeah, which I'm not happy about. What is this? You don't cure diabetes and don't get an opera Avery or something.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And we find out that, I like that her intern sticks up for her. I don't remember her name.
What?
Meredith's intern.
Oh, yeah. Doctor, I don't remember. Adamson. Adams.
No, that's Reed. Reed's back from the dead. Whatever, so, yeah. And other than that, the scene didn't really do much for me. I mean, it's basically just giving Bailey something to do.
No, I liked it. I liked it. I like that, I like that Meredith is assertive enough to claim her territory.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I kind of figured that she would be.
She's confident, and I appreciated seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I...
I also feel like she's learned a lot from Derek in the fact that, you know how he always says, I'm not going to know until I open them up and get in there? That's kind of become Meredith's philosophy. She has faith in that method. And I think that's a lot to do with Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, the April and Mama Avery looking through the microscopes. She doesn't know what she's looking at. And so she tells her that you're looking at testicles.
Yeah, again.
And obviously, April, even though she's had sex multiple times, she still can't handle discussing the organs of a male's anatomy.
But there's also the fact that the only balls she's ever seen are the woman's son.
True.
So, that, even I would be kind of bothered.
Yeah, but I wouldn't show it.
No, me neither.
But yeah, then we find out that Avery is having more amazing sex with detailed imagery about the giant.
I really think this storyline would have been more interesting if they would have actually made Mama Avery figure out that Jackson and April
were having sex. I was kind of like surprised. I thought that part of the reason she was coming to Seattle was, well, like, why the writers were bringing her was because they wanted her to find out.
They wanted to
now we're having a difficult time to understand her purpose.
They wanted her to come back, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one time was to make us understand that she and Richard were really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't just passing by. And the next time she comes, it'll be about Jackson and April. But, I mean, it would have been a good thing for her to figure it out right now.
Predictable, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's better than what they've given us with Jackson and April so far.
True.
I would have
preferred that. It would have been fun to see.
So you're telling me that Virgin April, the first guy she sleeps with, she becomes fuck buddy wits, and she doesn't even try to marry him? You know, I don't know. I have a hard time with the whole storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But on the offhand, I did appreciate the light tone to this episode. And
yes.
The storyline gave the episode that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
Would this story have been more interesting? I guess we were talking about that. Avery learns why his name was on the board, and the presence of his mother is revealed. I love how he instantly is just like, oh, my mother's here for you. And you're doing a surgery together.
Yeah. Which made me question the whole... You know, we've been told that Mrs. Avery is kind of a meddler.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Really? He told her to keep off and she did?
Yeah.
Why? Was it really because she was keeping off of his business? Or was it because she was trying to hide her own business? You know?
So I wish you trying.
Because she says Jackson made it clear that he didn't want me involved.
You know what? She doesn't strike me as a type to really give a crap about what her son thinks about her relationships.
Oh, but they're trying to hide it, Richard and her. They're talking about, you know, keeping him off the case, and then she says, but maybe that's not the right approach. Maybe we should put him on the case, because if
True.
We don't, then he'll question why I'm here, So they're trying to hide it.
True. True, true, true. Very true. But at the same time, I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right.
So, but me too. She came off as the woman who didn't give a crap, but now she does for some reason.
I still think she was, you know, obeying his wish. I think that she would have found a way to hide it and come see him if he would have allowed it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
Maybe because it's serious with Richard.
Maybe. Maybe. We still don't know quite know if it's just some... We know it's, you know, semi-serious, but, like, we don't know if they're actually in a relationship or if they're just going to be friends with benefits, you know?
Well, she admits that it's the best sex, and he admits to liking her. That's kind of where we are.
Yeah, true.
That episode. But, yeah, you're right. We don't really know.
No. Okay, so back to Arizona. She's getting her prosthetic fitted. Callie walks in. Arizona shouts at her for not checking her voicemail. She really shouts at her.
Yeah, she really does. Yeah.
Poor Callie's face.
But, it's hard to...
She was so... It also showed how accustomed she had grown to this. Like, she wasn't even bothered. Like, she was just like, okay, I'll talk later.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's where it got to me. I'm so torn about this. Okay. I feel like Callie should speak up. And I mean, I know it wasn't the place to do it, and I agree with that, but I've always had this problem with Callie. You know, now, right after that, she goes to the bar and she unloads on Owen, which is what she always did. She goes to someone else and she...
Usually Mark.
Yeah, it used to be Mark. And then she does it with Owen. And I mean, to me, and I get that you can't yell to your one-legged wife.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
She needs to be honest with Arizona at some point. She needs to speak up. It started with the shower scene. We saw some of that, but she needs to really have a discussion about it. And she can't just take it in, you know?
Yeah.
But there's still a process. We see that they're getting better, I think. They're trying. They're getting there, but it's slow. It's a slow process. And I appreciate that they're making it a slow process.
Some fans can't.
Okay. I have a problem with everyone who whines about couples who go through a hard time. That's a show. It's a dramatic show. They're meant to go through a hard time. That's how their couples grow. That's how Shonda shows us growth. And, you know, because when they'll know how it ends, how the story... where the story is getting, they're going to appreciate the storyline. Mm-hmm. But now that it's going on, they're whiny and they're bitchy and they're not appreciating it, which is when they should really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, bit by bit, pieces by pieces. Not when it's done, not when they know that it's a happy ending.
As long as they don't beat the storyline into the ground like they've done previously with Christina's PTSD, I think they're going right now at a very good pace and I want them to keep it up. I don't want them to go too much faster. I don't want them to go too much slower.
Yeah, but the problem with PTSD was that PTSD isn't cured as a visible process like losing a limb. With Arizona, we clearly see that she gets better. She was in a wheelchair. Now she's getting her prosthesis. Later in the episode, we see that she has crutches. So we see that she's getting out of it. With Christina, it was really static and stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't. So that's where my problem with Christina was. But with Arizona, at least we see that there is a process.
At least at the end of the scene, we saw again her face. Like at this point, I feel like she's yelling because it's her instinct. And as soon as she does, she's realizing, oh my god, I did it again.
Yeah, because there's this moment. Yeah, you're right. Because when Callie leaves, you can see that she's not happy with herself.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Moore picks up on it. And I like that he tries to help Arizona feel better because he recognized that she felt guilty.
Mm-hmm. And Christina's in her hotel room, and it's snowing, and she's talking to Meredith on the phone.
Oh, right, yes.
And Meredith is at the dream house, which I like the change of pace, because when we see them talk, Meredith and Christina are usually in the hospital, but now they were one in the hotel room and the other at her house. So, and I like how they change the setting.
Yes.
You know, it's just about work and cases. It's about their personal life, too.
Still, yeah. And I like the view we got of the dream house, although I miss the frat house. I'm sorry.
We're going to get back to it, I'm pretty sure.
I know. I hope we get to see it soon.
Yeah, me too.
Doesn't seem like the place to have huge parties. I mean, it does, but it seems too fragile.
It's too grown-up-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, but really grown up. Mm-hmm. To move from the frat house to that.
Yeah, it's a big grown up house.
Yeah.
I know, and out of the training wheels.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the Mr. and Mrs. Impossible Tumor. I love that, and I love that Christina is the one who brings up, Derek must be so proud.
Yeah.
I love that. I think, I don't know, I love that she picks up on that, on the fact that Derek must be proud of Meredith, who was once his student, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Derek walks in.
Yeah.
I like seeing these cute little scenes.
First thing he says is that he hates teaching, and Meredith is like, no, you don't hate teaching, you're a great teacher. I mean, she's still in denial in a way. It's like, she's still in denial that She has this attitude of, it'll get better, love teaching. I mean,
Yeah, it's how she copes, sadly. Like, I think she got that from childhood. She just doesn't think about her problems.
Mm-hmm.
She just pretends to, I do that. Anyway, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my theory. Okay, so my theory is that the storyline about Derek teaching and Derek not being in a OR, everything, I think it'll be fixed. I think Derek will be able to go back in the OR, and I think we'll find out that his injury, or how his hands go numb, is psychosomatic rather than physical. It's linked to his psychological state rather than his physical state. It's my theory, and that's why, spoiler people, there's a big spoiler. I'm going to say a spoiler. Like, if you don't want to hear a spoiler, skip for 30 seconds. Because we know that his sister is coming in and that she's a psychiatrist, I think, right? So I think she'll help him with that. Anyways, there's a psychiatrist coming on, and I think she'll be the one who'll make him figure out that the pain and the numbness is psychosomatic rather than physical. That's my theory. Maybe it's I'm not right, but I don't know.
Mm.
I feel like Derek needs to go back in the OR. Mm-hmm. He's not meant to teach.
No.
And we don't see him become a better teacher or anything. He's stalled. And I think that tells us that that's not his calling.
Callie and Owen at the bar. She's drinking white wine.
Yeah. Callie orders white wine, the big kind. I just want to mention it. There's this big debate going on in discussion. Well, more of a discussion than a debate about Callie in Arizona and the fact that people noticed that Arizona was the one who usually drank white wine and Callie was the one who drank red wine. But in this episode, it was switched. Callie was the one who drank white and Arizona was the one who drank red. And I think there's a symbolic to it. I don't want to believe that it's just a random fact. I think that they chose to do that as a way of showing us subtly that they miss one another.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And very naughty theory about that is that the only time that Callie would taste white wine would be when she kisses Arizona. So.
Aww.
Cute, eh?
That is a cute theory, yeah.
Naughty.
It's not naughty.
Okay. It's not naughty. But yeah, I'd like to believe that there's some kind of symbolic. But there's people who claim that the scene in season 8, where Arizona tells us about all of her secret lovers, the people she used to sleep with. In that scene when Kelly gets back to the house, Arizona is drinking red wine, but we don't see her drink it. Maybe she's waiting for Kelly to give the glass to her, so we don't know. Anyway.
So we find out that Kelly is sleeping at Mark's, which, how do you feel about that?
I knew it. It wasn't mentioned, but it made sense. Actually, I thought, at the beginning of the season, I thought that we would find out that Arizona was the one sleeping in Mark's. But it's the other way around, and I knew it would be something like that. I'm okay with that.
So, yeah, I'm okay with it, too, because a lot of people perceive it as Arizona abandoning, Callie abandoning her, but I just see it as she's just across the hall and she's giving Arizona her space. They have a hospital bed in their bedroom at the moment.
Yeah, it's a hospital bed, that's right, and Arizona can't even look at her leg. She's not ready to let Callie see it, and I think that's part of the reason why she yelled at Callie. She's humiliated. She doesn't want Callie to see her limb, you know? So, she's not ready to have Callie in their bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be actually part of their reconciliation when... Okay, weird prediction, that's probably not going to happen. Callie comes home and Arizona brings Callie to the bedroom and there's no hospital bed. It's their bed and it's an invitation to come back to their bedroom.
Aww.
Someone write that fanfic.
That'd be cute. But yeah, no, like, I'm not surprised by it. I'm not bothered by it. I don't look at it as Mark coming in between their relationship, even in death. I just, because that's been said.
People need to move on from that. I understand why they would put, they're pissed because Mark was in the middle of their relationship at some point, but people need to move on from that. Season 8 was all about moving on from that.
And it's just convenient, and it's easier than, you know, she's not leaving. She's across the hall, so...
Yeah, and even Callie mentions that it's hard for her and it doesn't help her to be in Mark's bed, that she wants to go to the trailer. So I think we don't need to feel threatened.
A lot of people are also upset that she even brought up the suggestion that she was tempted to sleep at the trailer, but I think it was just said because it was a way to get Owen to go there.
Yes, yes, and it's not like she would have done it.
No.
She would not have left Arizona in a house alone with only one leg with her daughter. Come on.
No, she wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People need to
get... I really like Owen and Callie's friendship.
Me too.
I think they're very similar. They have a lot of similarities.
But, yeah. And I like how you can see that Owen kind of relates. He doesn't speak a lot about what he's going through, but you can see that he's there and he's listening, and I like him. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Owen is a good drinking buddy.
He would be. I agree. Okay, so back to the interns looking at the balls guy. I like how Meredith says, okay, ladies, or step right up, gentlemen, to Alex and Jackson.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, we've mentioned in earlier podcasts about them as interns being insensitive and how this new bunch of interns were kind of like that, and it shows us that really they haven't grown up that much.
No.
They're still the same guys who walked into that hospital nine seasons ago.
Yep. I thought this whole exchange was a little weird. The writing was a little odd. Like, it was a very dark humor, which I don't get very much, but I like seeing their faces.
Yeah, I like Kepner kind of teasing Alex. I had a hard time about Alex being so thrown off by the old thing.
I don't know. That was a little weird too, I meant.
My problem with this scene was Alex's reaction.
Why? How he acted like he was losing his balls too?
I think, yeah, and I think that has everything to do with the writing of that scene.
Oh, probably, yeah. Probably said has a look of horror on his face.
But I love the switch. I love that Kepner is the one kind of teasing Alex, and I like that Kepner and Alex leave, and then it's Meredith and Jackson having a moment.
Yeah, that's funny. I like the relationship.
Yes, me too. I was going to say, that's maybe the most interesting part to Jackson so far for me, how Meredith and Jackson have very similar backgrounds.
And now they got the whole chief banging their mom thing going on.
That I'm actually interested in.
Mm-hmm. Me too. This is the other elevator scene before Kelly gets on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
In which Alex tries to accept part of the blame, but Kelly doesn't let him. Or rather, she never let him in the first place, because she hasn't told Arizona that he was even involved in the decision. And do you
which
think that was...
I like.
Do you think she's deliberately protecting him, or do you think it just hasn't come up and she doesn't see the point? She's already got all this anger. Why? What's the point in making someone else have
yeah.
it?
Well, I seriously think it's not even an issue for Arizona. Even if she found out who it was that cut off her leg, it's not the point. It's the person who made the call.
True.
Who she needs to be angry to, and she knows, Arizona knows that. And it was the point of the whole episode. She wanted to go back to Callie because Callie would know what to do when she felt betrayed that Callie chose to cut off her leg.
Mm-hmm.
The point is not who actually took the knife. The point who made the call.
Okay. So she's not trying to protect him. She was just trying to let him know. I don't even think it matters.
Well, it's more complicated. I think she would protect him. I think she does, but I think there's no point in doing it.
Okay.
But if she had to, she would protect him, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's trying... It's clear that she doesn't want him to take the blame.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of protecting him there.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah.
No. Yeah, I can see how they both know and understand how the other other feels towards Arizona's situation, which we later find out when Alex speaks to Arizona. So.
And Callie says... I'm the bad doctor, I'm the bad person
mm-hmm.
who made the call. She doesn't say I'm the bad wife. And that's my whole problem with this frickin' storyline. Callie is not Arizona's wife at the moment.
No.
Or I feel like she's someone taking care of Arizona. She's Arizona's parent. Yeah.
Okay, so Arizona is avoiding the whole situation and she starts to start to give the guy, Dr. Moore, some attitude. And she's reluctant to get up. She doesn't want to participate at all in what she probably perceives as her own humiliation.
Yeah.
And finally, he just has enough.
Yeah. We spoke about this, how he... Was it right for him to walk out?
I was mad when I first watched it. I thought that it was not right for him to walk out on a vulnerable woman who still has her, you know... She's not used... She doesn't know how to walk yet with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was unprofessional, even though he was trying to make the right point.
Yeah. It's probably unprofessional, but I think it was right. And he was making a point, and... You know,
well, he was trying to tell her that the people that are there for her right now aren't always going to be hanging around, waiting, trying to help constantly. And she
exactly.
Could, you know, not push them away.
Exactly. And that's the point he's making, because he makes it a point to tell her, you know, I'm not one of the people who's in your corner. I barely know you. So he can walk away immediately. But if she keeps pushing away Callie and Alex and everybody, eventually they're going to walk out. You know, and yeah. And also, I think he kind of knows that if he walks out, she will get up on her own.
Uh-huh.
You know? Because clearly when he touches her, she reacts very, very strongly. Very strongly. She doesn't want to be touched. And I think, in a way, it's the right approach for her to get up on her own. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah, I agree.
Because... She needs to get help. She does. She needs to get over the humiliation of getting help. But there's also a point where Arizona will need to step up on her own. Because there's things that... When you're healing, there's things... The biggest victories, I think, come from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fact that she got up the first time on her own, I think that's an important step for her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yes.
I agree. So next we have Joe asking if they can go look at the tumor that Mara's working on. Derek was completely baffled. He didn't know what was happening. He later goes to the gallery to see that Martha's in the OR and tells Owen that he has been bubble wrapped.
Yeah. And also we get a glimpse of Medusa down there with her intern. She kind of, I don't know, has this exchange with her intern that gives us a glimpse of Medusa. And yeah, then Derek walks into the gallery and he gets a talk with Owen. Which
he's still wearing his ring.
Yes. Yes. Owen has the ring. Which I don't know what to make. Yeah. What's the state of their relationship?
Well, she's basically said that we're done. We've moved on in different places and he's still missing her.
Mhm. And I feel like that's my problem right now. We clearly see that Christina is making an effort to move on, and she feels like old school Christina. She feels like season one, season two Christina. You know, she's very sarcastic. She's badass in the OR. She's really doing her best to move on. But Owen is really moping and stuck. And man, I need him to move on. And I don't mean move on as in sleep with other women. I need to see the man Christina fell in love with. Because right now, if Christina comes back and he keeps on acting like this, there's, in my opinion, nothing to attract her back to him.
Yeah, I agree.
Which...
he's gotta go back to being McBadass.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, you know, my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What Owen needs to do. But yeah. I love how he gives Derek the speech and he tells her, you know, yes, I was ready to tee off, but that wasn't the speech that was meant for you. I mean, it works, but it was a speech that was meant for somebody else. And you can see that Derek knows that it's Christina. He mentions, you don't know she's coming. You don't think she's coming back? And mm-hmm. Owen has no faith that Christina is going back. Bailey is in the OR with Catherine and Richard, and she does jokes about
balls
and nuts and penises and stuff like that. And I found that scene, and I rarely find all, you know, an entire scene awkward. Sometimes there's tiny bits, but this whole scene to me was awkward.
Awkward.
Yes.
I agree.
Awkward.
I agree. The whole awkward. It was just, even the surgery.
They could have at least showed us some balls.
That's funny.
Anyways.
Oh,
yeah.
Yay, the Arizona.
No, let's have the discussion now about BCB.
Okay, let's have the discussion about Bailey.
And
sounds
people,
like an appropriate time to
yeah.
bring this up.
Let's talk about the serious stuff.
Okay.
Right?
You start.
No, it's your... No.
Okay, fine, I'll go.
Own up to it.
What?
Own up to it, and I'll back
you. Okay, okay. So, I was thinking recently. I noticed it specifically in this episode that Bailey has basically been put in the background. She no longer, to me, holds the same purpose that she had in the beginning. To me, she used to be the Nazi, remember? She used to be the mother figure to her interns. She was the mother hen. She, you know, her main goal was to see them succeed. And now, ever since really season 7, 8, and 9, but I noticed it specifically in this episode, and I actually spoke to my mother before we recorded this episode, and she asked me, what is Bailey doing these days anyway? And I was like, wow, you know, it's not just us that are noticing. A lot of people are noticing the awkwardness of her being hanging around in the background, fighting for surgeries that she should not have to fight for. And I think that her story arc has come to an end, in my opinion. And I feel like it would be way more rewarding to the character if she had a proper exit rather than beat this dead horse into the ground. Because I really don't want to see Bailey's character destroyed.
Hallelujah.
I feel like... I think it's just the way... like, I could totally see her going... What are you typing, Kay?
I don't want to lose respect. and I'm starting to lose respect.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of losing my respect for her, and I'm afraid of her being downgraded and demeaned, you know, seeing how great her interns are. I don't want her to become this, I don't know.
BCB!
Exactly. I don't want her just to be BCB. I really kind of want her to go move to another hospital, try another challenge, and I really think it could be one of the most powerful episodes of the season.
Me too.
They chose to have an episode dedicated to Bailey and her old intern saying goodbye, and I can just picture her giving, like, last words of advice to each of them, and I would probably cry bitch baby tears, and it would feel weird. Like, Grey's Anatomy, like, Bailey is the backbone of Grey's Anatomy, or at least part of the backbone.
Yeah.
But I just don't see her fitting into the new Grey's Anatomy anymore, and it makes me sad to say it, but it really hurts to see her in the background with nothing to do and just being generally awkward.
I agree. Either they find a way to bring her back as Nazi Bailey in a new, interesting way, in a new challenge or something, or they accept the fact that her story arc is done, which I don't think Shonda is ready to do right now.
I don't know if she's edited or not. I mean, they were very close with the couple episodes ago saying that Tuck let go of her hand. I guess, you know, like, it's true, so...
Maybe they're preparing us for it.
Maybe, but I don't know. I think we would have heard something.
I don't know. You know, Chandra... That's how we pronounce her name.
Isn't she having a wedding later this season?
We're not sure who's getting a wedding, actually.
We
thought, we were pretty sure it was Bailey and Ben, and then maybe Jackson and April, and there's someone else, somebody else mentioned. I don't remember. Anyways, I was going to say something. Oh, yeah, because she does some directing. I think she's directing...
Yeah, why don't she just direct?
906, so she could still be involved, you know. Anyways, but yeah, I know, I think you're right. Her story arc feels like it's done. And yeah, either she moves on, or the writers get really creative and make me find some respect elsewhere.
Exactly.
But it would be a powerful scene if she left.
I agree.
It would be amazing. Amazing television.
I think so, too.
Amazing.
And, you hate yourself for thinking that, but I do think that it would be a very good creative decision.
So, guys, this is one of the topics you need to barge in on. Tell us what you think about that. It's a big statement we're making, and we want to hear your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Tweet us or whatever.
If you disagree, tell us what you think that you'd like, where you'd like to see Bailey going this season.
Absolutely. Maybe you're seeing something we don't.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Arizona Callie. I'm sorry, Arizona and Alex. Which has a mention of Callie. I love this scene so much. I loved how she took her time. I wonder how long she was there before standing up. Do you think she would have managed it if Alex hadn't startled her?
Well, he walks in and she turns quickly, and that's when she falls.
True.
Yeah, I think he caused the fall, but, you know, she wouldn't have been able to walk or be Wonder Woman, you know.
Mm-mm.
But she was okay. She had balance. She was clearly okay. It's that he entered that made her fall, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he was really looking for Dr. Moore? And if so, why?
Yeah, I don't... He was very convincing. But yeah. I think he needed to see her. He spoke to Callie. He spoke to Moore. He knew that she wasn't blaming him for...
But he looked surprised to see her there.
But of course he was surprised. She was falling in his arms.
True. How appropriate.
But yeah. No, I think he was reassured by the fact that Callie told him she wasn't blaming him for the leg. And I think he had to see her. I want to believe that.
Okay.
I want to believe that he wanted to see her.
Yeah. I like how how he acted around her. Like, he didn't flinch or act weird about her leg. He just, you know, and I liked how he said pretty much the exact same thing Dr. Moore said, and I liked the difference in reaction from Arizona.
And she's the one who takes off the thing so we can see. It's weird. It's like she knows he wants to look. Did you notice?
No, I didn't actually.
I'm pretty sure, and I remember correctly, she's the one who takes...
Oh, right, the sock, yeah.
Yeah, the sock. And do you think she kind of knows he's the one who...
I don't think so, no. But I think it, even without the fact that he cut her leg off, it's still very much a, kind of a part of him and why she lost her leg, right? So.
And I like that he's kind of the first person she's okay
with looking at.
So yeah, it feels organic. I know maybe people would have wanted it to be Callie, but to me it feels like a more realistic step to take.
Baby step.
Baby step.
Like her brother. Right?
Showing Callie will be the ultimate thing.
Oh,
when
yeah.
She's ready to accept it herself and then accept it with Callie, that'll be the ultimate.
Yeah. No, I don't consider it a bad thing. It's just Callie's her wife. I'd be terrified of showing my spouse that too. So.
Me too.
But yeah, no. And I liked how they immediately got back to their signature banter, asking Alex if he had run her peds department into the ground.
Mm-hmm. I like that she calls it my peds department.
Mm-hmm.
At least she still feels worthy of something.
Mm-hmm. I still would like to see her acknowledge what she said to him.
What do you mean?
When she said that...
oh, yeah, yeah.
Thing she said to him that one time. I would like to see her at least acknowledge that in the future.
Yeah, me too.
Before, like, if they go back to normal and, like, start acting like nothing happened, I'm going to be disappointed.
I think you may be disappointed.
I don't know. I've already accepted that I might.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Arizona react to other things before. She never exactly apologized to Mark for calling him a sperm donor, did she?
Oh, but that's a different story.
I know.
It's organic to Alex and Arizona's relationship to not apologize, I think. They're both people who have a hard time acknowledging their mistakes and really, really making apologies last.
True.
It would be brushed off. And that's why this scene is perfect. They speak very little. It's short sentences. They move from subject to subject very quickly, and it works. Mm-hmm. It's their dynamic, and it's who they are.
Yeah.
That's why I loved it. There's not a lot said, but the important stuff is said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll it ends with him telling her that Callie's trying.
Yes.
That would bring peace. Love.
Yes. I'm glad that Alex was aware enough to acknowledge, to see what was going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to help as best he can.
And it's like, coming from him, she took it.
Yeah.
Coming from someone else, coming from Dr. Moore just a few minutes earlier, she didn't take it at all. You know, but that's, Alex is kind of saying the same thing, you know, Callie's trying to help you, you need to accept that, I'm trying to help you, you need to accept that, and coming from him, she, you know, slowly she acknowledges that he's right, not out loud, but...
Well, I think Dr. Moore helped her with Alex.
Yes.
I think Alex is going to help her with Callie.
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah, step by step.
Yeah, so...
I'm really looking forward and questioning how she acts towards Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really...
We haven't seen Sophia, have we?
No, we haven't. Well, we did, yes, in the season premiere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, besides that, but yeah. But since Mark's passed away, we haven't.
Yeah. No.
We hurt her.
We hurt her, yeah, and it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Arizona's scene in front of the mirror.
Oh, my God, that was a gorgeous, amazing.
You can talk about that. Like, so, how you felt about it.
My favorite shot of the episode is, and actually, Kevin McKidd's is, when he directs an episode, my favorite shots are always Calzona related.
Mm-hmm.
Kalina, I love that shot of anyways, whatever. In this episode, the mirror scene, how he kind of pans out. Anyway, it's a great shot. And Arizona's just standing alone with her prosthetic on, and she's just looking at herself. And I think that's really the first... She's really starting to accept her state and the fact that she only has one leg. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's the start of acceptance for her.
And I love that she acknowledged what needed improvement in it. And she wasn't just, you know, she was, that was her way of participating and trying to help, you know. Yeah.
And she was so vulnerable, and it was tears of vulnerability and sadness. And she had this very small smile because, in a way, it's, yes, it's a heartbreaking moment. And yes, it's sad. But I think also she sees that there's hope. You know, it's still a moment of hope. And
yeah,
Moore walks towards her, and he puts his hand on her shoulder, and he has this adorable, crooked smile.
Yeah. Which is the first time she's actually stood since the accident.
And really. She smiles.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I love that. It was a cute scene.
It was a great scene, great acting. Jessica Capshaw, she has a way of making us feel like a ton of emotion at the same time. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Brief scene of Jackson approaching Richard, and as Kevin McKinn called it, his cowboy scene of the two men stepping up to each other. Mm-hmm. I like that Jackson tried to be the man, but in the end, Richard was the man.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Me too, I like that.
He's like, you can't tell me what to do.
Exactly, I like that. Yeah.
I hope you like the view.
But I still like that Jackson tells
him. No, I do too.
You know, she's my mom. And, yeah, I'm watching you.
Yeah.
I appreciate
What happened to his dad again?
He died. He couldn't take the pressure of being an Avery.
Okay, I never caught that.
That's how Katrin explained it.
Bailey saw it all. Which apparently she's now just an eavesdropper, and she hears everything. That's the only her only purpose.
But we did ask for someone to acknowledge, to kind of bring up the fact that Richard was married.
Right, right, yes.
So I appreciated that he brought it up, you know, and yeah, I also appreciate that Bailey approves.
Mm-hmm. Bailey does approve, which I don't think he was expecting.
No, he's been avoiding that the whole episode. He didn't want her to be in the room, I presume, because he didn't want her to kind of catch up on the fact that they were still sleeping together.
Yeah.
So.
Or that they had slept together.
Yeah, or, no, she kind of, oh yeah, but she knew there was something, because she's the one who had told him about the gala, not to go with her.
Yeah.
But yeah, she knew there was, yeah, I think, yeah.
Really cute scene with Derek and Meredith, where he finds out, he approaches her about the tumor. She's a little nervous at first, and then he tells her that he's not going to run away into the woods, which, by the way, Owen mentioned, which I'm glad that we had a little bit of continuity in that they touched on past episodes.
Yeah.
I thought it was adorable how he got a contact high, which is... You know, like, he got high off of her happiness.
Yeah, me too.
It was cute.
Me too, I yeah. And there was something else. Shit. Oh, also it's one of their vows on the post-its, no running.
Right.
And I like that they're both making very strong efforts not to run. Mm-hmm. I really, really appreciate that about them. I think that's big growth on their couple's part.
I agree too.
Or their relationship. Sure about that. Yeah.
Okay.
So. I love it. A lot of people loved it. I mean, I've read a lot about it on Twitter.
A really rare, cute little scene between them. I mean, plus, let's just admit that Patrick Dempsey is so cute when he smiles.
Yeah, he's adorable.
He
I like
makes
him.
Makes me smile when he smiles.
Very charming. But you know, we saw resolution. Yeah. And Grey's Anatomy isn't good about showing us resolution.
No, sometimes they let things linger.
Yeah, or they skim over and everything's perfect in the episode after.
Exactly. You know. And we still got, you know, Meredith's episode next week is coming, so.
Yeah, and I like that, you know, he gives her, he doesn't make his own bullshit her bullshit. It's kind of contrast to Callie and Arizona's relationship right now.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we cut to a scene of Callie putting a glass of wine on the table.
Red wine.
Red wine. Sophia, she says that Sophia's down for the night, she's going to Mark's. Arizona invites her after hesitating, obviously thinking about what Alex said.
Obviously.
It says that American Bake Off is on, which is, by the way, Shonda's invention. So, yeah. A lot of people think that, like, do you think she seemed a little annoyed? Or was she just surprised by the offer?
No, she was surprised.
Yeah.
She was surprised. And, no. I really think she was surprised. Mm-hmm. I really think, yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised because the last interaction, she, what's on her mind is that she was yelled at just a few hours ago.
Oh, yeah, true.
The same, or for the last few months, actually, you know. So, no, it was as a surprise, I think.
Yeah. So she just carefully walked over. They had a few inches of space between them.
Yeah, there's space between them. There's no touching. But the way Arizona takes the, you know, the sheet,
mm-hmm.
the covers that are on her, the way she takes them off. I don't know. Yeah. There's something very special about that scene. She carefully takes the sheet off, makes space for Callie, the blanket. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because sheets are like, yeah, drôle.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that Callie sits and you see Arizona looking at her. Then Arizona turns her head towards the TV, and then Kelly looks at Arizona.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a cute scene. I think it shows us, it's a message to the fans that they are, now Arizona is also trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's slow, and I like that it's a silent scene, nothing is said, but it's a sign, just a little small twinge glimpse of hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you may have noticed so far on this podcast that we have not touched on the subject of Christina. We are going to discuss the entire arc of this episode between Christina Yang and Dr. Thomas because we figured that there were so many scenes that we want to analyze it all together.
Also, that's the thing that pulled me into that episode. It was really the storyline I cared the most about.
Yes.
Not necessarily the best scene, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sarah and I cared the most.
Okay, so at the beginning, we had Christina and Dr. Thomas working together. Dr. Parker, who she's been sleeping with, asks, "Did you even suggest a less invasive surgery? Because I guess they're doing some procedure I don't know the name of, and they're doing it in an old-fashioned way." So Christina she seems kind of frustrated and just wants to answer the question. And then Dr. Parker says, "Enjoy him while you can." Christina's like, what?
No, Christina actually thinks he's talking about her probation.
Yeah.
Which I didn't catch that she was on probation. Is it like fake probation? Or is she really on probation?
I don't even know.
I guess what she means is that, am I done babysitting old guy?
So she finally goes to him, to his house, and he thinks they're gonna have some nice lovely sex.
I like that he's like, I didn't know we were like that kind of sex buddies.
Yeah.
Not that he says that, but yeah.
And Christina's just like, no, we're not here for that. And so she actually got out of bed, walked or drove however she got there, in the cold, obviously. Because she wants to know what that comment meant. She cares enough about this man who's become her only ally in Minnesota so far. Which I think is a very big step for Christina just there.
Yes, and as you made me realize, you know, that the other storyline, tell them how it complements the whole doctor.
Oh, right. Well, I can say that later, but there was the episode in season 5 that people are making parallels to, with Faye Dunaway, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't remember the doctor's name, but yeah, Christina.
Dr. Dinosaur.
Well, yeah, she called it the dinosaur. And Christina very much wanted her to retire, all because she made one, you know, mistake in a surgery. Owen was trying to get her to empathize and understand what it was, what it must be like to be reaching an age that where, you know, you should consider that possibility. And she was just very cold about it, and she didn't care. She wasn't compassionate. She didn't have any empathy for her. And now, 3 seasons later, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're seeing another side to Christina, which we never saw before. And she is starting to, like, once she got to know Dr. Thomas, once she got to know him as a person and saw what he'd been through, and she's starting to realize that he doesn't deserve to be treated this way. And I just thought that's an interesting parallel. And it also ties into her relationship with Owen, because at the end of that episode in season 5, he said to her, "I still want to be there when I have to rip your scalpel out of your cold hands," you know? I can't remember the exact quote.
Yeah.
But it was basically a storyline that showed that they wanted to be together. Not that this has anything to do with it, but just the whole parallel is very interesting.
Well, Christina has grown.
Yeah.
It shows us that she cares. And what's really interesting is that she still has the same attitude, the same sarcasm, the same everything, but she cares more. But she still feels like the old Christina. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, which, I agree.
Which I love. I love that they didn't make her into some character we don't recognize. She's still the same Christina, which mm-hmm. I love. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. And I loved her reaction when she realized that their plan was to use her as a way to make him feel inadequate, like he needed to be replaced, that the times had changed. And for the first time ever, her expertise at being so good didn't feel like a compliment anymore. It felt like, you know, an insult.
Yeah, true that.
And I just thought that was very, very poetic.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, so she says, "Talk to me about Thomas." Parker explains that we're going to force him to retire, and we thought you'd be okay with it because you're his total opposite. And he does have a point. The Christina that we knew would have been okay with this.
Yes, but he's wrong in saying that she's the total opposite.
Yes.
She's not the total opposite. She's the total opposite in the medical sense, but in the sense of the type of person, I think they are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Parker's wrong.
Yes. I think she's realizing this as well.
Yeah.
So she walks out, says that, you know, you should have told me. Later, Christina confronts Dr. Thomas, which, if you're getting confused, is the old guy, her friend, and tries to get him to do the procedure her way, or the new way. And after a brief trying to say no, he eventually agrees. Christina's very tactful in the way she approaches him, too. She's nice about the way she challenges him, but still you can tell that she's prepared to... She's determined.
But she confronts him, and I think she has a point. You know, he is scared, and that's how she gets him to do it.
Mm-hmm. No, I like them. I think they make a good team. I think they can learn a lot from each other.
They're a great team. I love them. Totally a fan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then Dr. Parker comes in pissed when he finds out that Thomas is preparing to do it this new special way. Another dig at him when he says that, "I'm only letting him do it because you're there."
Yeah.
I like Christina, though. She's like...
I know. I was surprised, too. I was like, whoa, what a surprise.
Me too. I love her sarcasm.
That's the kind of line you'd see on paper, and you'd think, okay, whatever, but the way Sandra Oh delivers it, it just cracks me up.
Yeah, totally true.
Mm-hmm. So then we get into the surgery. Dr. Thomas is struggling a little bit, and Christina helps him. I love how excited he got after he got it, and he was like, "Back off, sister."
I love that Christina teaches him.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen much of Christina teaching, and I think it's interesting that she would teach an elder, someone she admires.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's okay with teaching them, but she has a hard time having the patience to teach interns.
Yeah, I agree. And then Dr. Parker, who's a jackass, wants
to... Yeah, we can pretty much say that by now.
He's a jackass. A jackass.
Dr. Jackass.
Yeah, so he tries to confront her afterwards. Christina dismisses him, says that she has to go and see a friend. And I hate how he was like, oh, you've already made friends? Like, I was like, F you. You know, I feel like he's trying to manipulate her and be the only one she has in Minnesota.
I don't like him. Whatever his intentions are, I really don't like him.
I also enjoy, we didn't talk about it, but when she was on the phone with Meredith, how she pieced it together, he doesn't even know it's coming, and how that was a major influence for her to go and further prod and find out what was going on.
Yeah. Well, that's when she figures it out. In my, I think she, when she, as soon as she hangs up, she goes to Dr. Jackass's house.
Dr. Jackass! That's good. Yeah, so that pretty much wraps it up. We'll just do the last scene, which was when we find out that she's meeting him at the bar, and it's like 10:30, which we'll later find out. And
I love the story about the watch. I love the watch. Oh my god.
What? Sorry?
The story about the watch. There was a surprise retirement party. They gave me a watch. It's a crap watch. I'm just wearing it to mess it up.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she persuades him to have a drink. She finds out it's an old-fashioned, and so then she has to have one with him. It was just a totally cute scene when she bursts out laughing.
I super love, it really makes her laugh.
It's cute.
It's, you know, and that...
She makes him laugh, too.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, back in the beginning, in the scene when they were talking with the patient... And they were joking with each other. I think you could tell that he wasn't used to that kind of interaction, but he liked it.
Well, exactly. That's what he tells her. He says something. He says, it's been a while since I've had anyone care enough to give me grief.
Aww.
Which I love, you know?
Yeah.
He knows that she cares, and because she actually gives him a hard time. I love
this. He's very, very old. Don't mistake Dr. Yang's attitude for a sense of humor. She hasn't got one.
I'm really a fan of them.
Me too. Oh my gosh, I don't want him to go.
No, me neither.
Why do we keep falling for all these new characters? I love the older actors that we're getting.
Me too.
Me too.
It's like another step. We have the residents, the old residents, the interns, and then we have the whole really wise surgeons.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I would like to see more of storylines about when, you know, doctors get older.
Yeah, me too.
Anyways, Owen, we find out, is going to the trailer that needs to have a purpose to be used every single season. Every single season. You know how many people have been in that trailer? I think everybody at one point.
And I have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so.
I think that's the start.
A cooler that looks like it could be used for.
Trans.
The start of what?
I think it's the start of Owen getting into the wood. Is the start of Owen putting his pieces back together, and you know. Finding himself again.
True. Hopefully he can do that with the squirrels. And the ticks. And the bears. But also, there leads to the awkward question. Isn't he on Meredith and Derek's property? Like, aren't they going to come invite him over for breakfast or something? Or are they going to sit and watch him at the window as he roasts marshmallows?
Yeah, no. I think when Derek tells us about the land the first time, he mentions it as a piece of land. I'm pretty sure it's actually freaking huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's on their land, but I'm sure he doesn't see the house.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It has to mean that Owen is trying to put his pieces back together. I mean, they don't just put a scene of Owen And that's also one of those scenes. Today I'm filming a scene where I get into a Dodge Ram. I drive. I get out. I take my cooler. I get on a little porch and I sit and I look at the stars.
Aww.
And I'm directing it too. Follow us on Twitter. We're TSG Podcast and feel free to give us your opinion. If you see inappropriate tweets, that's probably me. If you see well-thought-out tweets, that's probably Amanda. You can also find the podcast and many other amazing podcasts on hypable.com. Great site. You should check it out. The podcast is also on iTunes, and you can follow us on Tumblr at www.theseriouslygrayspodcast.tumblr.com.
Woot!
And that's our 20th podcast!
Oh my god, is it really?
Yes, it's the 20th podcast.
Holy crap. 4 more and it'll be like a season of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my god, that's true!
Alright, so I'm Amanda, and you should seriously check your frickin' voicemail.
Oh my god, I was gonna say that!
Sorry!
I'm Kay, and you should seriously stop having sex with April Kepner to go get coffee.